Today, I have four completely unrelated topics to discuss with you. But to give it some kind of connecting tissue, I'm going to call it the four Ps. Something personal, something professional, something political, and something paternal. I know, really cheesy. It's not beyond me. You can kick my ass later. But at least connects the dots in some way. Okay, let's get started with number one. What do we want to do? Professional, paternal. Let's do something personal. Okay, so whatever your area of expertise is, very likely if you're listening to this, it's programming. But maybe it's something else. Now, there will be no shortage of people around you who also are programmers, but maybe more specifically, who also do the exact same thing, the exact same niche that you do. And deciding how you respond to this can often be a tricky thing. So when you think about it, you have two different choices. You could either be jealous. This person's doing something very similar to me. This in this area and that area, they're even doing it better. Maybe they are smarter than me. Maybe they are fill in the blank, right? So you have one option that is very much the jealous approach. You immediately sharpie enemy or competitor, and you put it on their shirt, so to speak. That would be one option. Another option is to be inspired. So you have two options. You can respond with jealousy, or you can be inspired. And it's no surprise that only one of these options makes you better. But there's definitely no doubt your natural gut instinct is to protect what's yours. You're worried they're going to take a piece of your pie, so you wrap your arms around it to protect it. That is your natural instinct. But nothing good comes from it. So if we take the inspired approach, you can say, oh, wow, they are doing something very similar to me, but I didn't think about doing it in that way. Or they're using a technique I didn't even think about. That's cool. Maybe I can tweak that and adopt it into my own system. Or maybe they're really into this technology, which I haven't learned about. Maybe I can learn from them and then bring it back and make my platform better. There's all these different ways that this person, who you might initially see as a competitor or a challenger, there's so many different ways that they will make you better in the process. Now, as part of this, something I've tried to do much more in recent years. I didn't do it as much in the early days, maybe due more to, I don't know, insecurity or a different mindset. But now I really try to make myself promote my competitors. So in my area, it would be education. So other sites and platforms and services that provide education. If I think they're doing a good job, I want to make sure that I, amplify in some small way what they're doing over to my community. It just makes us all better. And if I'm amplifying them, they're a little more likely to amplify what I'm working on in the future, and we're all happy and we all do better as a result. I think that's clearly a better way to go about things. It's a less aggressive and mean-spirited way to go about things. And again, it just makes everyone better. The first person who made me think about this was my boss at my last job. I worked at Envato, and the CEO is named Khalis Taid. He and his whole family, in fact, are really incredible people. Even the stuff they don't tell you about that they do behind the scenes is some of the most generous and inspiring things I've ever seen. One day I went to work when, at one point, I worked in Australia for about a month. Otherwise, I was working remotely. I went into work, and he had a Woo Themes t-shirt on. And if you're not familiar with it, they make professional quality WordPress themes. And things have changed, but back then, in some way, they were a competitor to ThemeForest, which Envato runs, which also sells premium WordPress themes. And he came wearing one of these shirts, and he even laughed about it. But I thought to myself, oh, that's really cool. And I think things are different now. Maybe they work together. Maybe Woo Themes sells on ThemeForest. I'm not sure. It's been so long. But at least at the time, it was kind of like, oh, the CEO is wearing a shirt of the competitor, and he's totally cool with it, and he's confident, and he doesn't see any problem with it, because there is no problem. But to my mind back then, it's like, why are you promoting and evangelizing this competitor? And he simply didn't see it that way, and he was very much right, and I was very much wrong. So that's something I try to apply to my own business. So in closing there, when you see a competitor, whether it's another business doing what you do, or even down to a single person doing what you do, you can either be jealous or you can be inspired. And only one of those options makes you better. Okay, so that's personal. What's next? We got political, professional, paternal. What do you want to hear? Let's do professional. So this is something Laracast related. One thing I'm often asked about over and over and over is, why aren't you covering technology X? You are a website that provides web development and education, and as a result, it's your duty to cover these technologies. And it's very clear if you visit Laracast that I don't. There is a subset of things I focus on and a whole world of things that I don't. Now, there are three reasons for this. One of them is, Laracast is not a site like lynda.com. There are not 500 different teachers, each with their own area of expertise. Laracast, by and large, represents one person's understanding of the web. So it would be impossible for me to cover all of these different technologies. I'm simply not skilled enough to do that. That's reason one. It's impossible. I'm not smart enough. Reason two is I always intended for Laracast to represent one way that you might go about building a website. And as we know, there are dozens and dozens. There's all these various technologies that can produce the same website that the user could never tell what's happening behind the scenes. But I'm not overly attracted to sites that just show you everything because it overwhelms me as a student myself. Do I need to learn this or this or this or that? And for this or that, I don't know. I want somebody to hold my hand and tell me where to go next, but there are 50 different places to go next. You know, if I want to learn more about JavaScript, there's 50 different locations and technologies and services and APIs. I have no idea what I'm doing. And worse, if I were to ask somebody, well, which one should I do? Any reasonable person will say, well, they all have their pros and cons. Just pick the one that sounds best to you or feels best to you. And that's true. But at the same time, it's not overly helpful because you don't know what feels good yet. And it can be tricky. Sometimes you do want a little bit of help. So that's always what Laracast was intended to be. So there's my response to every why aren't you covering X question. The only alternative answer might be, I'm not covering it yet. But I have a whole list of things to cover in the next year. Okay, so we've covered something personal, something professional. Okay, we'll do something political and then finish up with the fourth P. Again, so cheesy. I'm going to kick my own ass here. So we're going to talk about politics, but don't worry. I think I can do this in a way that doesn't offend anyone. Because trust me, I'm very sensitive to that idea of politics injecting itself into everything you love. I'm very sensitive to that. I hate that. But nonetheless, let's see if we can talk about it without it feeling like it's some kind of ideology-driven thing that I'm trying to convince you or misrepresent things to promote what I'm saying. At least I'm going to try. Okay, so think about the political spectrum. On one end, you have the far left, and on the other end, you have the far right. Some people call these the French left and the French right. Together, those represent, what, 10, 15% total of the public. And here's the thing, that 5 to 7% on each end completely dominates the conversation. If you turn on the news, it's what you're going to see because it's sensational and it's more likely to keep you watching versus something a bit more reasonable, something the remaining 85% of us can discuss. That remaining 85% represents the reasonable left to the center to the reasonable right. That's most people. But again, those fringe elements dominate the conversation to the point that we often think the country is in complete chaos, and it's just not. You walk out your door, everyone is nice to each other, everyone is friendly. It's not even close to the war zone that social media would have you think. So instead of thinking of the political spectrum as a ruler, like people often do, instead think of it as a circle, as a clock. So if the center of the political spectrum is at 12 o'clock, so if you're a little left of center, you might be 10 o'clock. If you're a little right of center, you're 2 o'clock, right? But what I think is interesting is the more you continue clockwise or counterclockwise, left or right, at some point, the far left and the far right converge right around 6 o'clock. And that's why they hate each other with a passion. And yet at the same time, the techniques they use are so oddly similar. Both extremes are alarmingly authoritarian. And it's no surprise, you look on the far left, they're wearing disguises, they're putting on masks, and they're beating the shit out of people. And then I go over to the extreme right, they endorse the exact same thing. And the worst part is, both have concocted these worlds that in no way represent reality. yet miraculously positions each of them right in the center as the good guys fighting evil. And anyone who doesn't subscribe to exactly what they believe is just that. And if you're up against evil, everything goes. So if somebody is brutalized or attacked or beaten up along the way, oh, sorry, that's just how it goes. Next time, get out of the way. I'm pretty sure that's how they see it. And that's how the rest of us can be unimaginably appalled when you hear the fringe right chant, "The Jews will not replace us," or the fringe left in Antifa beat the shit out of a gay Asian immigrant because he was standing there. And if you're aware of what I'm talking about, did you see the justification? Did you see the references to, well, he shouldn't have been there, or he's a conservative journalist? I'm not sure if that's true. I've followed him slightly. I've never seen anything to suggest that he's conservative, but you notice how that was thrown in there. Did you notice how people referred to him as a provocateur? All of these things to somehow mildly suggest that he was asking for it or he deserved it. Where I come from, that was called blaming the victim 5 seconds ago. And it's very funny to see how we respond and how the media responds in one case versus another very similar case when the only thing separating them is often their political ideology. Isn't that interesting? Like, can we take a step back far enough to acknowledge that? And it's very odd to see it in the tech community. And actually, you know what? It's not odd. But I say odd because as a whole, the industry is so incredibly smart. Some of the most brilliant people I have ever met work in this field. And yet at the same time, you'll see them encourage or endorse or sympathize with things that are so clearly wrong. It should not be a stretch by any means, right, to say that if you're holding a tiki torch while screaming about how the Jews will not replace you, then you're the bottom of humanity. And also, if you are on the opposite end of the spectrum as an Antifa member, where you put on masks and disguises and beat up anyone who does not conform precisely to what you think, all in the name of anti-fascism. The irony of all that, by the way, is I'm convinced at this point, if you asked any handful of people in those crowds, what is the definition of fascism? They couldn't tell you. I'm convinced at this point, because the irony is just absurd when you look at these people. But it should not be stretched to say both of those are not acceptable. Antifa does not represent the left, and they do not want their help. And that fringe right group certainly does not represent the right. And yet still, you turn on the news, you go to the trending section, and it's all you hear about. Meanwhile, the rest of us are appalled by all of them. Okay, so that's political. Last one. Let's talk about something paternal. Obviously, I've been talking about this more lately because I'm a relatively new parent. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, so I almost think of it as a project that I'm trying to figure out. A very long-term project, as it turns out. But yeah, it is interesting as you raise them. I've talked about this before, deciding what values you want to pass on to your kids. These are decisions you never think about until you have them. And then all of a sudden you are in that position of deciding what you want to pass on. It's kind of an amazing thing. And a component to that, that I find myself pushing on my daughter more and more is, I'll do it to my son as well. He's 1 though. He doesn't speak English yet, but I'm realizing the importance of telling your children, your young children especially, you have to try. I don't care what else you do, but you have to try. Because there will be all these scenarios where they don't want to do something, whether it intimidates them or they're scared or something tweaked their nerves a little bit, and their instinct is, I don't want to do it. But it is our duty, I think, as parents to say, try. It's the equivalent of pushing them out of the nest. You have to keep nudging them forward. And it very much goes against your instinct, because your instinct is to protect them. If this scares you, you don't have to do it. I will protect you over here, and you'll be safe. But it's not what's best for them. What's best for them is to constantly push them. A reasonable amount, right? You have to know when they've been pushed far enough. But you need to keep edging them forward. So I keep saying that to my daughter. You got to try. You got to try. Try again. Well, you couldn't do it. Try it again. Get back up. Try it again. Try it again. And in so many ways, this is like the key component, I think, throughout your life. And it's clear when some people have not had that instilled in them, while others had it from a very, very early age. It's just a mindset shift you have to get into. And this is, by the way, I think where playing video games is actually a good thing for little kids. We often hear, you're staring in front of a screen, you're not doing anything, you're just blowing things up. Actually, in their head, not my daughter, she's three, but older kids, they're doing a lot more than just blowing stuff up. In their head, I got to go over here, and if I talk to this person, they're going to give me what I need so I can go over here and trade with that, and then I'll be able to go. You know, there's a whole world going on inside their head, whereas if you're not involved, you would just see them blowing stuff up, which is the least of what they're doing. But you do see these kids just dying in the game over and over, and they keep playing, and they keep playing, and they do it again, and they do it again, and eventually, you know, they finish the level or whatever it happens to be. It's the same mindset. Try again. Try again. It reminds me of this YouTube clip I saw the other day of a dad teaching his son or his daughter, it was very low res, so I couldn't tell on my phone, how to jump onto this platform. So the kid would stand in this one place, and they could only do a single jump, and they had to get on top of the platform that was pretty high. And over, the kid would do it and fall. Jump, fall, jump, almost get there, then fall. And it probably showed it 50, 100 times. And the very last time, the kid does it perfectly. And what I love about it is you can't not see it. Within a half second of finishing, this look of triumph takes over the kid's face. It's such a great thing to see. And the whole time I was watching it, I kept thinking to myself, that's the kind of dad I want to be. That's a good dad right there. All right, so this is the Lyricast snippet. Those have been your four P's, your four cheesy P's. Thanks for sticking around, and I'll see you next time.